2018 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. As many of you know, there was a rebroadcast yesterday. I had Dan rebroadcast the Marilyn Monroe Show for two reasons yesterday. One, to keep it fresh in your minds for the report I'm about to give next. And number two, well, I needed to take a day, regroup, take a breath, and refocus, if you will. But that said, how many of you watched 48 Hours last Saturday night? The second hour was the Death in Dark Water, the show about Natalie Wood and her death. Well, I'm going to take a few minutes here and give you my thoughts and an overview on that airing of Death in Dark Water. See what you think, folks. Dennis DeVern, the boat captain, changed his original story. He claims now that Robert Wagner called a meeting shortly after Natalie disappeared. Wagner called DeVern and Walken, Christopher Walken, into the galley and basically dictated to them that when the police arrived, and I quote, he said, "This is the way it's going to be," unquote. Wagner then spelled out a story instructing them to tell it to the police just like that. And he concluded with, "You got it?" Now, the original detective bought it, obviously, and the event was ruled an accidental drowning. For a time. For about 30 years, by the way. Wagner told police he noticed that Wood was missing around 10:45 p.m. He said his story was that she had gone to bed, and that him and Christopher Walken got into an argument in the galley regarding Wood's future career, and when the argument ended, Wagner went to Wood's room and noticed her gone. Well, the first question is, why did he wait till 1 a.m. to notify anyone when he noticed her missing at 10:45? That would fit in with a story that he called DeVern into the galley with Walken. Okay, keep that in mind. Now, Dennis DeVern originally went along with Wagner's instruction of the unfolding events and went along with Walken, and they stayed silent for 29 years, until about 2010, when Dennis DeVern's conscience got the better of him, and he contacted Natalie's sister, Lana, to tell her his real recollection of events. Now, this is when Lana started pressuring the police to reopen the investigation, in which they did, in 2011. 2012 is when the new coroner, and I want to emphasize new coroner because I got a few thoughts about this old coroner and how it correlates with the show you just reheard yesterday on Marilyn Monroe. The coroner changed the cause of death. Now, according to Dennis DeVern, there had evidently been jealous feelings by Wagner relating to what he deserved between between Walken and Wood the night before. Wood and Wagner had gotten into an argument about moving the yacht to the other side of the island in rough seas because Wagner was drunk, intoxicated, if you will. Eventually, Wood and DeVern got off the boat, went to the island where Natalie Wood rented two rooms, one for each, and spent most of the night crying and venting to DeVern about her unstable relationship with Wagner. But then, the next morning, Wood and DeVern, after Wood had said, "Well, let's go, you know, make peace here," Wood and DeVern went back to the boat, and Wood smoothed things over and fixed breakfast. Wagner did then move the boat to the other side of the island, and the rest of the day went pretty well. They returned to the island bar later that evening for dinner and drinks, and they consumed quite a bit of alcohol. Now, according to DeVern, Wagner was getting increasingly more jealous as the night wore on, as he was observing both Christopher Walken and Natalie Wood having a great time. They were laughing and cavorting. Wood was paying little or no attention to Wagner at all. They left the bar intoxicated enough that evening where the owner of the bar actually called the Harbor Patrol to inform them of the group's condition and to make sure that they got back on their yacht okay. Now, Dennis DeVern claims he was on the bridge that night when he started hearing an escalating argument between Wagner and Wood. He started to hear banging and commotion to the point where he actually went down to their room and knocked on the door out of concern. And according to DeVern, Wagner opened the door with an enraged look on his face and told him to go away. Well, DeVern retreated back to the bridge, but the commotion didn't subside. Wood, at some point, left the room for the back of the boat, where Wagner followed, and the fighting continued as DeVern continued to hear the escalation. It is at that point when DeVern's story is corroborated by new witnesses that have come forward, being anchored on a nearby yacht. The couple confirmed that they heard a man and a woman arguing loudly, and they also confirmed the unmistakable voice of Robert Wagner and Natalie Wood on the back of their boat for approximately 10 minutes. And then all goes silent. The problem here, folks, the timeline of Wagner's original story, it does not match. And according to the police investigators, the bruising and contusion on Wood indicate an assault. And the lapse in time of when the coroner determined Wood's cause of death leaves a gap in Wagner's original story. It also confirms DeVern's change of story as making it more plausible, as well as confirmation of those said events heard by the new witnesses. Hence, the reason why police investigators now want to talk again to Wagner. Now, Walken has said publicly that he refuses to speak of the event any longer, and people can seek what they will in news articles and on the internet. And in short, folks, Walken ain't talking. But that's okay, as he's been ruled out as a suspect. Wagner, however, according to police, is, to put it as nicely as they can, a person of interest. And Wagner is refusing to talk to the police. Now, folks, we've all seen enough episodes of CSI and LA Law to know how detectives question suspects when they think they are hiding something. And I'm sure Wagner's seen a few of those episodes. Heck, he likely, at one point or another, portrayed such a character in his acting career. I don't know for sure, but probably. Now, my opinion as to why Wagner's not talking? Though the police were polite and called him a person of interest, with the new witnesses, he's a suspect, folks, and he knows it. His original concocted story of, "This is how it's gonna be," along with a now conflicting timeline, just developed a sizable leak. And a brutal interrogation of him, at this point in his life, he's now 88 years old, by the way, well, that sizable link, or that sizable leak, may just sink his boat. And I want to give you a quote from Natalie Wood's sister, Lana Wood, that she made to Inside Edition. She said, "Somebody's lying. Somebody hurt her. Somebody's hurting all of us. Stand up and tell me the truth. I know things go bad. I know people lose their tempers. I know bad things happen when you don't want them to. So stand up and tell me that. Tell me what happened to her." According to Lana, she doesn't believe Wagner's story that Natalie must have drowned while trying to take a dinghy to shore, especially since the boat's captain, Dennis DeVern, now says he heard an argument between Wood and Wagner moments before she disappeared. Lana goes on to say she would, and she's talking about Natalie, she would have never, never in a million years left the boat undressed. Lana Wood told that to Inside Edition. Undressed. She was in a nightgown. Folks, I asked you the question, who do you think Lana's talking about here? This is why Robert Wagner has zipped his lip and won't talk to the police. Because he's a frail old man that he knows if he gets in that hot seat, and this is only my opinion, he's going to break down and admit what he did. And there's also the question of the contusions and the abrasions on Natalie Wood, which according to the fellow Smith that found her, Dennis DeVerd could not have possibly seen any bruises or contusions. He claims there wasn't any on her body, and DeVerd said he saw them, but Smith claims that he couldn't have seen them because out of respect for Natalie Wood, he covered her up. But then later in the autopsy report, these bruises and contusions show up. Now, who did the autopsy? Well, what do you know? Same guy that did the autopsy on Marilyn Monroe, Thomas Noguchi. Now, he's a former L.A. coroner. And my question that I have to pose now after doing a little digging on Noguchi, is that former L.A. coroner Thomas Noguchi the Fahmy Malik of Los Angeles? And you all remember who Fahmy Malik was. He was the coroner and medical examiner for Bill Clinton in Arkansas. Now, take note here, by the way, and this is a couple of these excerpts I took from a 2005 report by the L.A. Times. Noguchi had no problem telling the world that such stars as William Holden and Natalie Wood were drunk when they died. Holden fell and hit his head in November of 1981, and Wood supposedly slipped off a boat near Catalina Island and drowned 2 weeks after Holden. Noguchi told the world that Marilyn Monroe was depressed when she took an overdose of sleeping pills. And he revealed that Janis Joplin and John Belushi died of accidental drug overdoses. Now, the Screen Actors Guild and Frank Sinatra, a friend of Wood, by the way, complained about Noguchi's disclosures in letters to the Los Angeles County supervisors, which helped, by the way, to prompt Noguchi's demotion. But Noguchi says he never regretted talking about his work or writing about it. Of his three books, one called The Coroner was a 1983 bestseller. And in August 1962, when Monroe's body was wheeled into the Hall of Justice basement, Noguchi had just a year's experience as a deputy medical examiner, but he was the one who performed the autopsy. Noguchi ordered a probe of the star's background as a part of his inquiry. And posthumous psychological profiles had been done before, but never on someone as famous as Monroe. And based on Noguchi's findings, his boss, Coroner Theodore Kerfey, ruled her death a probable suicide, which, by the way, now in 2012, that has been changed. Possible suicide with extenuating circumstances, something along those lines. 5 years later, Kerfey retired, and the county board appointed Noguchi chief coroner. And his charisma, his outspokenness, and flair for publicity would make him a magnet for controversy. The next year, in 1968, Sirhan Sirhan emptied his 8-shot .22 caliber handgun into the Ambassador Hotel pantry, killing Senator Robert F. Kennedy and wounding five others. Eyewitnesses put Sirhan no closer than 18 inches from Kennedy, but Noguchi testified that when the fatal wound was inflicted, the gun was 1 to 1.5 inches from Kennedy's ear. Now, that testimony fed conspiracy theories that Sirhan had not acted alone. And it was Noguchi's high visibility and the high level of criticism, just like Fahmy Malik, folks, that prompted the county board to force him from office in 1969, and then again in 1982. Now, in both cases, he fought back, regaining his post for the first time, but losing it in the second, despite a 5-year battle that he took all the way to the state Supreme Court. And there's notable other people that he did autopsies on as well, with questionable circumstances. So I just pose that question out to you. What was up with this guy? My contention? Oh, yes, definitely. The police department know that Robert Wagner is the prime suspect. But they're being nice to him. He's 88 years old. He's a frail old man, married to Jill St. John, and he's not talking. But you know what? I think that eventually, if he continues that position of not talking, they're going to subpoena him and make him talk. I wouldn't want to be sitting in his seat in front of those two investigators. I'll tell you that. That would not be a comfortable position in which to be, folks. Okay, so much for that report. Now, I had taken a look at this, but I think I mentioned to you, I've been digging down the rabbit hole. Let's see. Hold on a minute. Let me back up here a second. Yeah. Okay. As I mentioned before, shifting gears here, I've heard John on a few occasions mention veteran suicides to be at an astounding 22 per day. Now, the first time he mentioned it, I thought, that's interesting. And then a time later, I heard him say it again. And I thought to myself, I wonder why that is. What is the reason for this? So I thought about it for a while, and I determined in my mind it likely had something to do with the stress of combat, maybe. You know, atrocities that may have been witnessed in a war zone. I don't know, maybe orders given that caused them to compromise their morals and integrity. So I decided here, folks, over the past week to kind of take a deeper look into it, to try to validate my conclusions, as it many times happens through my research. Then I ran across a short video by an anonymous soldier. I read this last week, and I was taken in a different direction on the issue. And although my prior conclusions may contain validity, I think I've now discovered an even more plausible reason for these tragedies. So I'm going to start this by sharing a bit of history of psychiatry and how they've slowly permeated their way into the military, not only domestically, but around the world, in an attempt to expose a growing cancer throughout the world that needs to be exposed. Now, last week, I read a statement from this anonymous soldier, and in his words, he told, from his perspective, the real problem in both the military and with the returning veterans, the real reason for their suicides. So I'm going to start this report by again sharing the anonymous soldier's words. And I quote you. He says, "We are sending soldiers away to unwinnable wars, undeclared wars, wars in which they witness untold carnage, violent deaths and misery, families torn apart with sorrow, disdain and anger towards the occupiers. And after seeing such tragedy and questioning why we are even there, after many times being given orders that confound their morality, day after day, week after week, month after month, and sometimes year after year, and then they come back. What does the military medical do? According to this anonymous soldier, they give them 4 or 5 bottles of pills. And what do these pills list as one of their many side effects? Thoughts of suicide. So, if you got some back pain from transporting your loaded backpack up and down the mountains of Afghanistan, when you get back, we'll just give you some pills that'll make you want to kill yourself. Yet, nobody in the military wants to talk about this. Why? Because it's all about the effing money. They do not give a crap about you. They are the ones that promote the pharmaceutical videos, and they aren't going to talk about it because they know that they are the effing problem. Because they know that they are in bed with Big Pharma, and both them and the pharmaceutical companies do not care about you. Again, it's all about the money. That's all it's ever been about. That's all any of this is about. Money, conquest, control, and occupation. And by the way, they put on classes and pretend to be proactive on how not to commit suicide. They invite these returning soldiers to participate in these classes. These classes do not talk about the real issue. I hear the music. We'll get back to what the real issue is when I get back, folks. Stick around, more to come.
Hey, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefits. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun, which it is sunny today. It's about 75 degrees, I think. It's sunny every day here, practically. Anyway, getting back to this, yes. So they put on classes, and they pretend to be proactive on how not to commit suicide. And they invite these returning soldiers to participate in these classes. And these classes don't even talk about the real issue. They don't talk about the prescription medication and its side effects. Now, they will say that one of the leading causes of suicide is alcohol and drugs. But what drugs? What specific drugs? The very prescriptions that the military is prescribing them is the problem. That's what drugs, and this isn't going to stop. The cycle isn't going to be broken as there is too much profit in perpetuating this. And folks, the pattern is the same. War after undeclared war, vast profits from no-bid contracts in the defense industry, more profits for the contractors like Halliburton and KBR and the defense contractors, vast profits for the high-ranking military officers and the politicians through insider trading knowledge, ballooning their stock portfolios, money at the expense of innocent human life. And to say it's villainous would be an understatement. Sending our youth our children to some foreign country, propagandizing them to think that they are fighting for our country and defending democracy, when in reality it is the total opposite. They are destroying the peace and prosperity of other countries for the United States and Israeli benefit. And when they realize it, it's the soldiers I'm talking about, it's no wonder they come home with serious issues. Then, when they do come home, they are denied benefits, they wait in line sometimes for weeks and or months for medical treatment, they're shown some videos about dealing with suicidal thoughts, then given bottles of pills to take with suicidal thoughts, as one of the listed side effects is suicidal thoughts. Totally ridiculous. And they reject rational thinking or questioning and or any discussion of their action. And to make matters worse, this cancer is hiding in plain sight. The most dangerous enemy is the one that you never suspect. Now, keeping that in mind, ask yourself, how did this happen? How did this all come to be? Well, let's take a journey back into yesteryear and find out how it all happened. It was June 18th, 1940, when psychiatrist and Brigadier General J.R. Rees addressed the annual meeting of the National Council for Mental Hygiene with a strategic plan for psychiatry. And in that meeting, Rees stated, and I quote, "We must aim to make psychiatry permeate every educational activity in our normal life, in our public life, in our politics and industry, and should all of them be within our sphere of influence." And to reach their objectives, psychiatrists needed to perfect their perfect proving ground, one with an unlimited budget that could keep on growing, a proving ground with an endless supply of human resources, i.e. guinea pigs. And who was that? Well, none other than the military. They are being experimented on and used as guinea pigs, a proving ground where every order is obeyed, no questions asked, a proving ground where any collateral damage would be labeled as classified. Brigadier General Rees knew where to look. The Army and the other fighting services form rather unique experimental groups since they are complete communities, and it is possible to arrange experiments in a way that would be very difficult in civilian life. A shrewd tactic, especially when sold under the guise of health. Now, we find in the early 1940s Army psychiatric training films called Combat Exhaustion, where the commentator is telling psychiatrists that they were not requested to treat these soldiers, but they were directed to do so. I hear a break coming up. We'll be back after the break. I'll continue with this. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. A lot of interesting information about the past that leads us into where we're at today, folks. Stick around. More to come.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know some companies take shortcuts? At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Now, a quick announcement. I've had a few requests to have Jim Fetzer back, and I had mentioned to you earlier that Jim and I are going to be doing a few more shows together here. So, yes, Jim Fetzer will be on Friday. Okay, he's coming back up, and it's going to be a surprise. I don't know which topic he wants to choose, but it's always a surprise with Jim because he's like an encyclopedia coming on the airwaves. You know what I mean? Anyway, getting back to this. Okay, so yes, the commentator's telling psychiatrists that they were not requested to treat these soldiers, but were directed to treat to do so. Okay, so psychiatrists had come a long way because only 20 years earlier, they were almost unheard of in military life. And it wasn't until World War I that they slithered their way, if you will, out of the asylums and kind of sort of worked their way into the military. A very slow, very gradual insertion. Slow and gradual because psychiatrists were simply not trusted. And for good reason, by the way. Their treatments were never known to be scientific. In fact, many of their experimental procedures would later be labeled torture. And one of the first treatments was used on German soldiers who were deserting the front lines and trying to leave because of the horrors of the trench warfare back in World War I. That treatment was dubbed the Kaufman cure, after the inventor, but few would have called it therapeutic. The traumatized soldier was hooked up to an electric current, you know, kind of like Abu Ghraib, which was ratcheted up until he couldn't take it any longer. And during this, the practitioner laid in hypnotic suggestions. Now, the therapy was introduced as a healing therapy for the soldiers. Well, it was anything but healing, because it was pain that was applied to their extremities. And likely, the real reason the soldiers went back to the front line was because they couldn't take the pain anymore and would rather risk battle than continually suffer pain in the clinic. The pain these soldiers suffered didn't prevent these shrinks from continuing their experimentation into World War II. And just as before, it was not something that would help their patients overcome the trauma of war. Military medicine aimed at getting the patient back to the front faster than they did in World War I. This was the first and, so to speak, the decisive goal of military psychiatry in World War II. And all around the world, shrinks used the opportunity to try some very risky treatments on soldiers who had very little to say about the matter. They had to follow orders, by the way. They were electroshocking some and putting others into deep comas and filling yet more with powerful, mind-altering drugs. And as they infiltrated further and further, they became involved in, guess what? Military recruitment. In training, discipline, morale. They were even making opinions about the selection of officers. And by 1943, psychiatry had penetrated so deeply into the American military, the Navy's top psychiatrist, Francis J. Braceland, bragged, I quote, "Psychiatry now has a place in every step of the Navy man's career from his induction to his eventual separation of service," unquote. It is because of the military that psychiatrists became important. Why? Well, they're now wearing uniforms with epaulets, and they now have got some power. The U.S. Chief Psychiatrist Brigadier General William Menninger even wrote a manual listing all of the mental problems he thought soldiers could have. But guess what, folks? There were no blood tests, no x-rays, nothing observed under a microscope. Just opinions. Scientific evidence? No, sir. But this only helped psychiatry. After all, Menninger's Army Manual provided a veneer of legitimacy, something they could use to diagnose and treat even more service members. This manual was so widely used, it became the foundation for psychiatry's Bible, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the DSM. And because of the influence of people like Menninger, by the middle of World War II, militaries around the world were buying into the psychiatrists' claims that they were the mental health experts. And because of that, psychiatrists were free to try out drugs on a lot more soldiers. The drugs of choice were usually barbiturates. They noticed that in combat exhaustion, the massive doses of barbiturates were needed in therapy. During World War II, both Americans and Germans experimented with stimulants. It kept them awake and focused. One such a drug was Pervitin, which was given to German soldiers to lower inhibitions and to increase aggressiveness. The German campaigns were saturated with Pervitin as far as the Defense Force soldiers were concerned, because to their enemies, the Defense Force soldiers were unbelievably fit and very awake. Their endurance level was extremely high. They were both fearless and aggressive, and to their enemies, they always looked as if they were wound up. Well, it took about 18 months for the accidents to start occurring in considerable numbers. Young soldiers that behaved brutally, like wild animals, shooting at anything that moved, on civilians as well as their own countrymen. Numerous accidents were reported with both tanks and airplanes, to the point where the Germans banned the military use of the drug. The English army had the same experience. Stimulants were also used by the Japanese kamikaze pilots. They were so hopped up, they didn't even know what they were doing. From the 50s through the 70s, psychiatrists in countries like Britain, the U.S., and the USSR continued to use their militaries as proving grounds for an arsenal of new and experimental treatments. American psychiatrists used soldiers to experiment with LSD. Even though the shrinks knew the dangers of this drug, British shrinks continued the LSD testing on Marine commandos. Soviet psychiatrists gave their soldiers, well, God knows what. Their shrinks would come in before the cook to serve their borscht or their porridge before lunch and would instruct the cook to add a small packet to the brew. And when they were asked what it was, the doctor would always reply, well, it's vitamins. The cooks would take their rations then before the doctor came. Now, up through time, soldiers continued to be given experimental drugs for uses never studied or never approved. One huge and still ongoing experiment, Gulf War II pilots were given dexedrine in the morning and Ambien at night. Psychiatrists did and are still playing a huge role in the Iraq and Afghan wars. Psychiatry is now an accepted part of militaries around the world. Soldiers, both soldiers and us, are told we should treat the psychiatrists because they are the authorities. We need to listen to them. Only one problem. Things haven't gotten any better. They've only gotten worse. Soldiers in all walks and assignments of the military, from aviators all the way down to foot soldiers to intelligence officers, they are being paraded before shrinks and given diagnosis from within 10 to 45 minutes with no scientific studies and being prescribed psychotropic drugs at alarming rates. There's just as much stress on a soldier today as in years past. Long hours, grueling missions, extended periods away from loved ones, and when mental and emotional problems strike, well, there's no doubting their reality, but no matter where soldiers go for help in today's military, they often wind up in the shrink's office. The chaplain, most soldiers believe, is directed to route them straight to the shrink should they mention any key word like, you know, stress, battle fatigue, anxiety, etc. 10-minute minimum, 45-minute maximum, a shrink has diagnosed an illness and is prescribing a medication. Standard practice for the shrink is to first diagnose a mental disorder. Many say the soldier has he's got a chemical imbalance in the brain, though he's not ordered or done any tests to prove it, and he never will, because there is no test. In fact, there are practically no tests for any of the scores of mental illnesses listed in the psychiatric manual, or the DSM. In general medicine, you at least have blood tests or x-rays to go on, but psychiatry has no subjective means of any diagnosis. Well, folks, that's an issue. They have zero ability to diagnose, so they have zero ability to treat. Psychiatrists are diagnosing brain diseases, physical things wrong with the brain that they can't even prove exists. Diagnoses on multitudes of soldiers with no medical tests, no blood tests, no x-rays, nothing scientific in any way. Yet, diagnosing only, in their opinion, a brain disease and prescribing medications with dangerous side effects. The only thing one will get from a psychiatrist is their opinion. And by the way, they won't be shy about giving those. There are reports of soldiers being diagnosed and prescribed before they even open their mouths, just based on the way they look. Psychiatrists' opinions, not medical tests, have put many soldiers out on discharges and disrupted their mental state due to being told by the shrink an opinion, which in itself would cause mental stress for dedicated soldiers. Every year, thousands of men and women in uniform are diagnosed with a mental illness, sometimes even two or three. This is so out of control that the United States Pentagon spends over $2 billion a year on mental health alone, and the VA mental health budget has gone to $3 billion in 2007 to $7 billion in 2014. Now, that's a lot of money to spend on a profession that can't find any evidence for its brain diseases under a microscope. Not that it matters to psychiatrists, because diagnosis, folks, is only the first step. Actually, it's not even a step. It's an excuse to get them on some very dangerous treatments. Mikhail Vega joined the Navy at 17, and he was medically discharged from the SEAL teams. He served with America's best-trained men in a time of war. He lost his closest friend in service, and it gave him a kind of a survivor guilt he couldn't begin to describe. He made it through combat in multiple firefights, got blown up by an IED that broke his neck, lived through all of that for 5 years. Then, when Mikhail comes home, they almost kill him with pills. The almost inevitable result of a psychiatric diagnosis is a prescription for a psychiatric drug. There is very little else psychiatrists do, and they've been prescribing a lot. From 2005 to 2011, the United States Department of Defense increased its prescriptions of psychiatric drugs by nearly 7 times. That's over 30 times faster than civilians, and this drug push is no different for veterans. Soldiers complain that they have to be part of a briefing where a loud, boisterous blowhard from the VA will come in and give them speeches telling them that if they are depressed or do something erratic, it's a disease. And he's literally in the soldier's face about it in his attempts to convince them that if they do anything other than what they normally do, well, they have a disease, and you need to be put in the system and be prescribed drugs to treat you. And then after that, according to many soldiers, they are going to be put on whatever drug a psychiatrist seems fit, rather than just be able to consult with somebody. No therapy, no lifestyle change. It's a straight line as to how they educate these doctors in pharmacology from a symptom concurred by their colleagues behind closed doors and voted on to be added to their quack journal, the DSM. It goes from that to a drug. Psychiatrists have no real idea of what their drugs are doing to the human body, but when it comes to handing them out, that hardly matters. Soldier after soldier after soldier, each describing their own particular story of what they went to their doctors with depression or anxiety or whatever, only to be referred to a shrink and prescribed psychotropic drugs, sometimes as many as 5 different ones. Sergeant Joel Court tells of his prescription experience from being on Ambien to Seroquel to Paxil to Abilify, which puts whatever med you're on steroids. And Chris Seitler, the U.S. Army specialist, he was on Wellbutrin, Zoloft, Metafenil, Trazodone, Prednisone, and Ambien. Other soldiers' stories, Prozac and Effexor, at the same time, by the way, Therazine, Thorazine, Cogenta, Defacote, Xanax, Haldol, Clonopin, Adderall, Librium, and countless others too numerous to name. 1,200 milligrams of lithium in a day. Are you serious? Give me a break. And by the way, Haldol was the specific medication that they kept trying to give Susan Lindauer when she was in Carswell to give her a psychological lobotomy, because she was crazy that she even would think that she was innocent of the charges that they later dropped because they knew there was no validity with them. Hello? Who are the crazy people here? Most individuals given these drugs have no clue as to what the drug is or what it can do to their mind. So they're in the dark. It's usually, folks, a blind date and sometimes it turns out to be kind of an ugly one. The drugging of our military is off the charts, especially here in the United States. In total, over the past 10 years, the United States military has spent over $4.5 billion just medicating soldiers and veterans. And in 2011, the Pentagon, get this, spent more on pills, injections, and vaccines than it did on Black Hawk helicopters, Abrams tanks, Hercules C-130 cargo planes, and Patriot missiles combined. You think there's not a problem here? According to Master Sergeant Kenneth Pinnock, he's a combat medic, by the way, every soldier that he has talked to, who has spoken with a psychiatrist, has been prescribed a psychiatric drug. Right off the bat, every one. Break up, be back in three.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer, for me to you personally, a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer, for me to you personally, a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Does that make me crazy? Does that make you crazy? Does this make them crazy? I think so. okay? Still wondering why 22 of our soldiers a day commit suicide? This is why, okay? The investigation, the research that I did, I had some thoughts on this, but I thought I'd take a look a little bit further. According to Lieutenant Colonel Frances Hayes Cushenberry, she's a psychiatric nurse, by the way, 60 to 70% of the soldiers that she saw in her center were on medication. Lieutenant Colonel Bart Billings, clinical psychologist, was on a scholarship committee for veterans at a college. They invited a VA veteran psychologist to come in and give a talk about PTSD. And at the end, Billings raised his hand and asked, "How many veterans that you see do you medicate?" And initially, the speaker tried to skirt the answer, replying, "Well, I see the most difficult." And Billings responded, "Yeah, we all see the most difficult. How many do you medicate?" And the speaker's response, 98%. Folks, that's criminal. This is not just a domestic problem. This is happening with NATO countries all over the world. These quacks are prescribing these drugs with dangerous side effects to soldiers in spite of knowing that military men had dangerous guns in their hand. No matter the country, it is the military, and the military soldiers have no choice but to follow orders. While wearing a uniform, if they are ordered to see a psychiatrist, they have to go see a psychiatrist. And many soldiers say that it is a heavy recommendation, not a direct order. And then, of course, there's the pressure put on you to take the drugs. A chief warrant officer, who will, by the way, remain anonymous, asked his commanding officer if he indeed had to take the drugs prescribed him. Was this an order? He claims they all just stared at him. Wouldn't give him a yes, wouldn't give him a no. They implied he was supposed to take them. To refuse, they chanced losing their rank or their future opportunities in the military because they weren't taking care of the property of the military, which was their body. Now, we all remember the late Joyce Riley. She was a captain and a flight nurse. She was an RN. And she stated that most of the troops that she consulted did not want to take the drugs, did not want them, did not need them, and rebelled at having to take them. But they were told if they didn't take these drugs that they could not get their compensation and they could not get any further VA treatment. Being ordered to take these drugs is an illegal order. I hear the break, top of the hour coming up. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, and I'll continue with this.
I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.